Welcome to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646. Visit carolinasmortgageradio.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We've got a great show lined up for you, talking about all things mortgage and real estate. We've got two phenomenal agents in studio with me. We got Eric Glave and Lauren Green. Guys, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. She's on my line.
Well, it's good to be here. It is Masters Week, so that's always a special place in my heart. I don't know if you guys are into the golf scene or whatever, but I grew up in Augusta, and so every year I try to get back there. But we'll see if I can get down there, at least watch some golf this week.
Oh, God. Golf has always been a drunken sport for me. So, yeah. So there's not much I'll talk about golf.
Well, that's fine. We're here to talk about real estate and the mortgage and the market and kind of see what's going on with you guys, what you guys see in going on in the marketplace. Lauren, kind of give us an idea, of your background here in real estate and kind of, what got you to the point where you're at now and kind of what how your business rolls and give us a feedback.
Well, I grew up in Rock Hill, so this is my home.
Not too many natives that grew up in Rock Hill. Yeah,
I know. I'm a rare person. But anyway, I grew up down here. I lived in Charlotte. I have lived in Charlotte for about 25 years at this point. I went to the University of South Carolina, go Cox. Yeah. And I am a mother of four. So I taught for a few years when I finished at the University of South Carolina, and then decided to have a bunch of kids and stay home and raise them.
Yeah.
And then I finally got them all off to school and I thought, oh gosh, well, what am I going to do for work now? And decided to get into real estate. And it's been an amazing experience. I've just rounded out my first year and have done pretty well with it.
Yeah.
And I'm just really enjoying it.
So. Yeah, well, we talk a lot with, newer agents, especially in a hot market like this, mm-hmm. lots of home buyers out there, need representation. What was it like getting started as a newer agent? What was that process to become, your successful agent at this point for sure? What was it like kind of going from point A to where you're at right now? What was that process like?
Well, it was a little daunting, to be honest. I mean, you make a decision to go to real estate school and sell houses, but you have no idea really what it is that you're taking on. And so you kind of have to learn really quick under fire how to market yourself and how to reach out to people. And also it's a very humbling experience too, because you realize really quickly how little you know once you get that license. So it's been great for me to just kind of reach out and learn from others. And so that's been my main goal, and then just servicing my clients as well as I possibly can. So it's been a learning experience for sure.
Yeah.
And it's been very enriching. I really do enjoy the service side of it. So
yeah, one of the hard part and the fun part is like, every new home buying situation or selling a home is a different process, and you're learning new things every time, whether you've been doing it for a year or even 10 years. There's more to learn.
Absolutely. Yeah, I say every transaction is like a child. Everyone is different.
Very true, very true. Eric, get you in here. Give us, kind of your background. And we actually had you on the show about a year ago.
Yeah.
And just kind of getting rolling. Obviously, been a very successful 12 months for you since we had you on last. And kind of give us, your take on, the last 12 months and your experience.
Yeah, since the last time I was on the show, things got hectic. People were popping out of nowhere. Like you said, it's actually amazing how many people are going into these things unrepresented, and you find,
For sale by owners.
For sale by owners.
People trying to go buy a house without,
Yeah, because they think that they can't afford a realtor or they can't, it's a lot of mental games that they think. Because they have this perception that, they don't have anybody on their side. And then all of a sudden you talk to them and they realize you do have their best interests at heart. So then all of a sudden it changes the perspective. And, once you take someone from point A to point B, they become almost like a fan. And next thing you know, they're bringing their friends along, and all of a sudden it becomes like almost like a snowball effect where you start getting more and more, and you know, and you try to help people as much as you can.
You both deal with, you know, within the Hispanic community a good amount, you know, across all spectrums, but you know, in the Hispanic community, is that a cultural thing where they're not sure about representation, or that, you know, got some maybe some misfacts on, you know, who pays for what, or is that a culture, or you see that kind of across the board?
As far as when it comes to the Hispanic community, I don't want to be the speaker for the Hispanic community, but I do know that a lot of times people do have a hard time, especially with contracts, because the contracts are written in English.
Right.
So having someone that takes the time to actually translate the best they can over for them really shows them that you have their best interests in mind. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, I can speak from the clients I've had, and a lot of times basically all they want is somebody to take the time to actually sit down and, you know, read the contract with them and kind of go over it with them at their pace, you know? It's nothing more special than what you would do with another client. It's just a matter of actually showing up and, you know, actually doing it for them, you know?
Yeah, we talk a lot about on the show about just a genuine care for the clients. And if you start there, you know, it just brings along the process so much better for you, for your clients, for, you know, for all parties involved.
Yeah. And then it's also the communication with your support staff. I mean, you know, obviously you being a lender, you know, that sometimes you have to be there at odd hours and, you know, making sure everybody's comfortable. And, you know, sometimes you need to bring in people that you didn't think you're going to need to bring in just to make the person comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot about comfort zone. Yeah, that's pretty much the main thing that I've seen with the Hispanic community.
Yeah, fantastic. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Call us anytime during or after the show. 704-999-6646. We're here in the studio with Eric Glave and Lauren Green, real estate agents with Altate. So, Eric, talk more about, you know, kind of you just touched on, you know, kind of developing teams. Sometimes you got to bring in some more people or new people. Like, what is that experience like?
So it's the same thing as any other transaction. I mean, one of the big things for me was realizing that I couldn't handle everything on my own.
Yeah.
Because if you try to, then you're not giving the right kind of care that the person needs, you know?
Right.
There's always going to be a limit as to how much you can do on your own. You know, when I first came on the show, I was just pretty much handling maybe one transaction a month.
Yeah.
You know, one or two. So it was easy for me to kind of split my time. But now that I've gotten busier, it's almost like I'm playing, you know, the magician trick where I'm trying to be at three places at one time, and it's, you know, it gets hectic. But the main thing is the client. So you always want to make sure that they're taken care of. And sometimes you have to put, you know, your perspective on it, like, to the side, you know?
Yeah.
Because, again, it becomes not about you. It's about them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Having a team of, you know, experts is crucial to the experience.
Right.
You know, Lauren, you I think know this very well. You stay at home mom for 11 years, four kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're balancing that. Obviously that, you know, is a situation where, you know, you've got a large group of people kind of like teaming up to do that, you know, whether, you know, it's coaches, teachers, that type of thing. You were a teacher and you're previously as well. You know, what has your experience been like that as far as, you know, having, you know, the right team in place to help your clients?
It's absolutely integral to your success.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, actually probably the first lesson that I learned when I got into real estate is, you know, be careful about who you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, not only they're not going to be able to support you well, but as Erica said, they're not going to support your client well.
Right.
So,
And that's certainly what it boils down to, you know, again, you know, making sure that we're doing what's best for the client and making sure we've got the pieces in place to service the client as best as possible, whether it be, you know, you guys obviously know real estate a lot more than I do. But, you know, from a mortgage perspective, you know, just making sure that we hold their hand through the entire process, you know, give them kind of the outline of, hey, what's the next 20 or 30 or 40 days going to look like? And then really executing on that plan. You guys are typically with that client for a lot longer because you're, you know, you're showing houses or you're working with them to list their house. And once you get under contract, then I, you know, the mortgage comes into play. We got about 30 days, but you guys are with them for a lot longer. What does that, you know, kind of relationship look like as far as like building that trust and why is that important for the client?
Well, I mean, you have to, like, you're not going to have a good experience or a good transaction if you don't build trust with your client right away. So, you know, for me, it's just been about getting to know them, what's important for them, and what matters most in getting from contract to close. Yeah. So
it's also about the first impression, because the way that you lay out, like when I first started my business, it was interesting because like everybody that I work with was pretty much, you talk to them and then you're going in and trying to find a house. And then, you know, within 2 months, you know, you're under contract, and
right.
third month you're closed, right?
Right.
But what ends up happening is, and what I tell a lot of people is that it's not really just about those people. It's also about trying to figure out what you're doing that's going to impact your business in 6 months. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, especially now that I've been in the business for even longer, I have people that like I talked to a year ago, and they just randomly pick up the phone and call because I'm the last person they spoke to, and they had a good experience with me.
Awesome.
You know, so then all of a sudden it's like that's when it gets hectic, because you're like, okay, I got three people I'm working with. Oh, there's a fourth one.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's when it really starts to boil down. And, you know, it's all about the perception that you leave, because we are inclined to focus on the perception that the person leaves on us, you know?
Yeah. What would you say, like, that put you on the spot? That like the top three things that you do to drive that home. I mean, obviously you're creating a great perception, you know, with your clients for them to call you a year later, that type of thing, to give you, you know, referrals. Like, what are the top three things that you do to really enhance that?
I would say the most important thing is listening.
Yeah.
People like to be heard. I mean, that's, you know, there's nothing worse than when you, for anybody, when they go into an experience of buying anything, it could be like something as simple as groceries, and you know, you ask a question and somebody doesn't want to listen to your question, so they're giving you the answer they think that you want, you know?
My wife would agree.
Yeah. The second thing is asking questions, you know? I've had this conversation with Lauren before. It's like, you know, just because someone says something doesn't mean that that's really what they mean, or that you're perceiving it the way that, you know, that you're perceiving it the correct way. So you have to ask the questions.
Right.
You know? And you'd be surprised. Sometimes a person says something because that's it's not what they're trying to say. It's the way they think that it's coming off.
Yeah.
And then the way that it's really coming off, you know, it's all about communication. And you can't communicate if you don't ask questions to make sure that you're clear.
Right.
You know? And then the other thing is just making sure that you're available. I know that even, you know, a lot of my clients reach out to me on Facebook, and I make sure that at least have like a within a 2 to 3 minute response time. And it's brutal because, you know, there are times when I'm actually doing other stuff, but I try to make sure I get back to them as soon as I can, just because, you know, it's a level of respect at that point, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, we talked a little bit before the show about, you know, social media and building business through there. What's the value in social media for the client? I mean, that's maybe a tough question to answer, but, we talk a lot about, you know, value for us through social media. And I think there's a tons of value there for the client as well. Like what would you say, how would you label that?
I think what it does is it allows the client or potential client to, kind of get an awareness of who you are and what you bring to the table for them. It also is a medium for them to kind of get knowledge about the market that they necessarily wouldn't have. You know, there are lots of agents, including myself out there, that are constantly educating about the home buying process, and you know, I will tell people about properties and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot to be gained for the client through social media.
So certainly to get to know who you're working with. Great information, great knowledge, so much education's out there. So I think it's a valuable tool. I think a lot of times we think of it, you know, being a valuable tool for us, but I think it's just so valuable for the person who's thinking about selling their home or purchasing their home. So, if you're thinking about doing that, make sure you give us a call anytime during or after the show. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Call us anytime, 704-999-6646. So kind of, you know, talking more, you know, specifically about the, home buyers, home sellers, directly and kind of their benefits. So you guys both, are integral parts of providing a great service to the Hispanic community. Lauren, you're actually in the successful time that you've had in real estate are already advanced to being on the board of NAREP. Tell us what that is and what kind of your mission is there.
Sure. NAREP is the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals.
Yeah.
And I've been very honored to be asked to serve on the board for the Charlotte chapter. what we do is we advocate for Hispanic homeownership.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, it's a great networking opportunity for real estate professionals to kind of tap into the Hispanic market.
Right.
And it's you know, we offer some educational events and some networking events several times throughout the year.
Yeah. What, from an advocacy standpoint, what do you guys focus on? What's the need there? What are you guys trying to bring solutions to?
So we currently have a project initiative that kind of looks at the current state of Hispanic homeowners and wealth, and we kind of have these projected goals to help Hispanics earn more home ownership power.
Yeah.
So we look, you know, we look at things such as income, any kind of disadvantage that a Hispanic person may or may not have in trying to get a home, and educating them in overcoming those obstacles.
Yeah. What do you feel are the major challenges from the maybe the Hispanic buyer community? Is it just a lack of knowledge? I mean, I know you guys work to get a lot of education and information out in the marketplace. What do you see there are the main challenges and obstacles?
The main challenge is the housing shortage, and especially so in the buying range that a lot of Hispanic homeowners are going to be looking at.
Yeah, definitely that range from what, you know, zero to 150, 200, even 250.
Yeah, 253,
The market is, you know, the inventory is so tight. It's you know, you find a property that goes listed for 200 and they got 10 offers.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The first day.
I mean, I just experienced that myself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely the housing shortage. And, you know, so the Hispanic buyers are actually adding to that shortage, you know, because they're competing for those homes more and more now. So that's number one. And then also access to credit is a huge deal. A lot of mortgage loans are denied for Hispanic homeowners due to debt to income ratio or lack of credit history, I should say.
Right.
And then also a vast majority of them are using FHA loans, which is actually increasing their monthly out-of-pocket expense with the
monthly PMI. Do you feel like there's, you know, maybe some from a lending perspective, like, you know, you want to see more products? Do you advocate to the lending industries? Like what are the challenges from that point that you're trying to change on the lending side?
Well, I think it's just about having conversations with lenders and getting conversations started with home buyers in the Hispanic market in an earlier time, you know, getting them in to speak with lenders sooner in the process.
Certainly.
So that they know what steps need to be taken to qualify for a conventional loan versus an FHA loan.
Right.
Things of that nature. So it's definitely important to have a good relationship with lenders who are willing to work with that market.
Yeah, definitely. And that's that's definitely one, you know, area of my profession that I hear all the time. Hey, we, you know, went to so and so lender and they said we couldn't give it a loan, but they didn't tell us anything else. Like, I hate hearing that. So, you know, I mean, one of the services I provide, we talk about it on the show quite often, but, you know, one of the services I provide is, free credit analysis, you know, whether someone's got, you know, a 700 credit score and, hey, we can help them get a better deal if we help them get booster scores to a 720, or someone's got a 520 credit score, but, you know, we can put a game plan together for them. Hey, here's a 6-month plan or even a 2-month plan, whatever it may be. You know, we genuinely believe in home ownership. I think all the stats backed up it as far as, you know, wealth building, wealth creation, you know, the net worth of homeowners versus, you know, renters. We genuinely want to, you know, help people win financially. And I think, you know, home ownership is a huge part of that. And so I think, you know, we take that, we place a high value on that. So, yeah, we don't just turn people away if they don't qualify. We want to, you know, hold their hand and, you know, help them to qualify. And that's one of the biggest complaints I have about, you know, when I hear other stories from people that end up coming my way, because I, you know, I do a lot of business that for people just like that, they've been turned down as other places, whatever. And a true story, just last week, I got an application from, believe it or not, a Hispanic client. And they didn't tell me this. The realtor told me that their first lender laughed at them and said they couldn't be approved. And that was it.
That's great.
Wow. And it was it's just shocking, but I hate that.
Yeah. Well, and that's one thing that I really try to educate people about. If you have any interest in buying a home, let's start the conversation now. Let's see what.
Absolutely.
Let's put together an actionable plan. It may not happen in 2 weeks, you know, but right. but let you it'll never happen if you don't have the conversation.
100%. Yeah, yeah. If you need that action plan, if you're listening and you want to purchase a home, give us a call anytime, 704-999-6646. Listening to Carolina's Mortgage. You can always find us on Instagram at Carolina's Mortgage. Throw us a like, please. That'd be great. Listen, we're here in studio with Lauren Green and Eric Glaive. So kind of touch on what you were just saying with that, Lauren, as far as I just kind of lost my train of thought, but I wanted to come back to that with the clients.
So it's never too early to really get started. I really work hard at telling people that, you know, maybe have the thought of owning a home one day, but then very quickly think, oh, I could never do that.
Right.
I kind of feel like it's my job to say, no, you can.
Yeah.
We just need to start talking about it and figure out what steps need to be taken to make it happen. So.
Right. And the number one thing I tell real estate agents when I meet with them is, you know, I don't necessarily talk about, you know, mortgage products or interest rates or that type of thing. You know, those things kind of work themselves out. What I say is, hey, if you've got someone who wants to buy a home, send them my way. Let me educate them. You guys have enough on your mm-hmm. plate, you know, on the real estate side. You know, if you genuinely have someone who wants to buy a house, you know, send them my way and you know, let me educate. We'll educate them together. Get them the information. Get them approved. If we can't approve them, we'll put a game plan together for them and walk them through that approval process. So, I'm sure you guys see it every day. I just think there's just this information there that people think they can't be approved for whatever reason.
I think that process or finding lenders and realtors who are willing to work through that process, particularly right. with clients, not necessarily just Hispanic, but a lot of sure. times, you know, they do face some of that lack of credit issue
right.
or, you know, debt to income ratio issues. So I think it's especially important in those situations to find lenders and realtors who are willing to work the long game to help them towards achieving the goal. So
absolutely.
There. I totally agree. I mean, it's one of those things where you do want to get them started as soon as possible. I have clients right now, they're on a 1-year plan. You know,
yeah,
and it's because, you know, they decided to lease, and sometimes that's what they have to do at the time. But yeah. you know, their main goal is to eventually own. I think everybody has that dream of being able to own their property and being able to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things. Either they want to own for just being a homeowner, or they want for investment purposes. But mm-hmm. it's doable. It's just taking the steps. And it doesn't have to be big steps. It could be little steps.
Right.
And, you know, little steps add up, you know?
Yeah. Walk us through some of those little steps that, you know, you've got clients that are on a year plan right now. Mm-hmm. What does that year look like? Like, how do you stay in touch? Like, what do you put some type of plan for them? Hey, at month 2, we're going to do this. At month 4, we're going to do this. Or, you know, here's your targets for, you know, for saving or for, you know, credit. How does that look like?
So it's actually a little bit easier on my side because I don't have to deal with the money part.
Yeah.
But the main thing, the first step is always just having the conversation.
Right.
Reach out to anybody. It doesn't matter if it's me, someone else. You know, I'm pretty sure everybody knows at least somebody that's related to to real estate. So
right.
reach out to someone. Start asking the questions. You know, do the homework.
I would also say do the homework on the person that you reach out to.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely
do
that. Yeah. And then once you actually want to go ahead and take the step forward, then, you know, start having the actual conversations about what your goals are.
Yeah.
Because the person that's going to help you can't make the goals for you.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Like,
right.
I can't pick out the house for you. I can't tell you how much you can afford. It's something that you have to figure out on your own. We can give you guidelines to kind of like help you get through that process.
Right.
But you have to figure that out. And then once we have a goal, then we can try to come up with a game plan to get you to that goal.
Definitely.
You know, because, you know, one of the first steps is literally talking to a lender.
Yeah.
Just so that you can see where the financials are. And then we could kind of like, you know, create an accountability, because that's the thing that a lot of people miss out on. They don't have someone that holds them accountable.
Yep.
You know, to their own goals. So then all of a sudden their goals go to the wayside, you know, because things are going to happen in life. It's just a fact, You know,
very true.
Things come up. You think that you're going to buy a house in 6 months. All of a sudden, you know, something comes up and that plan gets pushed back a year, but keep working on it.
Right.
You know, don't just give up on it because something came up. Same thing happens backwards. Sometimes you think you're going to buy a house in a year, and next thing you know, you're buying a house 3 months in, you know, because things line up. Things do happen. And, you know, you have to put yourself in the situation. It's just like, you know, you can't, even let's say, for example, in baseball, you can't go ahead and score if you don't have, you know, if you're not playing the game, you know,
right.
You can't hit a home run from the bench, you know, so you have to get out on the field, you know. So that's my thought on it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, setting the goal, I think, is a valuable concept, too. I mean, if that's your goal, you know, goals take, you know, work. They take a game plan, you know, for the most part. But it starts with a goal. Hey, I want to buy a house. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I genuinely believe in homeownership, like I just said, just for all the financial benefits of it. But I also caution a lot of my clients, as I'm sure you do when you're putting that, you know, plan together for them and checking in, that, you know, there is a cost to homeownership. You know, mm-hmm. you've got to have, you know, some money for down payment, or at least sometimes we have some 100% down programs. Mm-hmm. But you still should be saving. You know, renting versus homeowning, there is a difference in cost. You know, you're going to have some expenses as a homeowner that you might not necessarily as a renter. But you're also bringing in an asset as opposed to just, you know, paying out rent. And there's, you know, so many statistics that show, you know, net worth for homeowners are just substantially higher than renters. So we believe in that wholeheartedly, but there's there's money involved.
Yeah.
And so making sure the clients are well aware of that, and prepared for that, right. I think is a big part of it.
I agree. Yeah. And I think those kinds of conversations aren't necessarily had all the time. And so I think it's very important.
I think they're glossed over too often.
Yeah. And, you know, even in the, as you're preparing a buyer, first time home buyer for the process of going under contract, you know, you have to be very clear with them about how much it's going to cost for each inspection, the appraisal, you know, because for a lot of first time home buyers, that's a significant cost to them that they're not necessarily anticipating. So it's all about education.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Yep. Yeah. We put a high value on making sure that everyone knows exactly what's going to happen when we do, you know, outline from the start. Hey, and especially upfront cost. Mm-hmm. You know, people think, you know, that, hey, they just wrote a contract, they $500 earnest money, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they find out, you know, well, we got $500 inspection, a $500 appraisal. Well, I thought those could be paid later. Well, no, there's some charges that have to be paid upfront. And so just making sure we're educating them on the front so there's no surprises and they don't get that bad taste in their mouth because, you know, obviously we're in this to serve our clients to the best of our ability. And that's how, you know, we make our living, by providing great service to satisfied clients. Yeah. And so, you know, we want to make sure that we do that very well. What are the kind of the steps that you guys, you know, put in place for, you know, I'm very system based, you know, everything's, you know, really regimented as far as like doing, you know, like the outline up front, that type of thing throughout the process to make sure, you know, that clients are well educated, well prepared, know exactly what's going on. Obviously there's a lot going on the real estate side, whether you're listing a home or looking out there looking to buy. What are some of the kind of like the platforms or systems that you guys, you know, put together to make sure that, you know, each client gets, you know, amazing service?
My life is hectic.
Okay.
No,
well, then that's why we need some assistance because, you know, things are so easy to fall through the cracks, right?
Yeah.
Unless we're, you know, really, you know, regimented in that.
I mean, it is a regiment because people think that, I mean, I get the perception that I don't have a game plan, but I'm very regimented even to the point of, like, sometimes I catch myself eating the same thing for breakfast every single day.
Yeah.
For, like, a month, and I don't even realize it because that's, you know, I focus on a game plan, especially everything is based on the client because I try to understand them the best I can. And then I come up with a game plan for them specifically. And then once I come up with that game plan, I try to stick to that game plan. Sometimes it's something as simple as making sure that they get a phone call every Monday, you know?
See, and that's huge. I mean, that's a perfect example.
Because somehow everybody, you know, is stressed on Mondays because they feel like the weekend went by, they didn't have anybody to be able to phone call. Mm-hmm. And they forget that as realtors, we are available to talk to on the weekends. And sure. Sometimes they even talk to you on Sunday, and it's almost like you haven't talked to them for months because you call them on Monday. But they need that regimen, and it becomes part of the way that you live your life, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I know that when I wake up on Monday morning, I am going to be making phone calls, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes other stuff will come up, but if I don't get to those phone calls, then I feel like I haven't done my job. And sometimes it falls over onto Tuesday, but I don't really like it when it falls over Tuesday because I feel like I haven't accomplished what I needed to do, mm-hmm. you know? So it's little things like that, and then making sure that you're always available. Just different things that don't necessarily have to be equated on paper, but, you know, or quantified, mm-hmm. but they make a huge impact on the person, you know?
Yeah. Excellent. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Got questions? We've got the answers. Give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. So, Lauren, just kind of dive deeper into the, you know, your position at NAHREP and like what mm-hmm. you guys really focus on and reaching the Hispanic community, and obviously it's a rapidly growing segment of the home buying industry. Everybody Definitely. Needs to be aware of it.
Yeah.
Whether you're selling a home, or especially sellers, you know, need to be aware of that. You know, who are the buyers out there? And the Hispanic community is a huge segment of that, and making sure that they're marketing properly to that. Kind of give us some more information on that segment of the industry.
Well, terrific. Thank you. I'm excited to do it. Actually, the timing of this conversation is very appropriate because NAHREP just had a convention in Washington, D.C. and spoke with Congress and so they had a lot of information that they provided to me, and I'm going to nerd out on you for a minute here.
Please do.
I've got some numbers because I'm not a numbers person, but I find these pretty staggering and worth mentioning. So number one, Hispanic homeownership has been on the rise for four consecutive years and is the only demographic in the United States that has continued to raise their rate of home ownership for that many years in a row. And in the state of North Carolina alone, the rate of Hispanic homeownership is 44.3%. That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
Another interesting fact is that Hispanic labor force participation is at 66.3%, which is higher than any other group in the United States.
Wow.
And this one I find most important. The average age of a Hispanic person is 28.7. Okay. They're young. They are on the cusp of starting to buy homes.
Yep.
And so we're just going to see this growth in Hispanic homeownership continue to traject upwards. The median overall age in the United States is 37.8. So they are significantly younger.
10 years younger, yeah. Working more.
Yes, they're working more.
I'm
going to
use that when somebody asks how old I am. I'm 39.4.
I told you I'm nerding out on you.
38.2.
So anyway, but in addition to all those statistics, we are also seeing more and more Hispanics graduate from high school and go on to get a college education.
Yeah.
So they're becoming more educated. Their median income is now over $50,000 in mm-hmm. household. So they are really an important part of the real estate market at this point.
Yeah.
And it's just going to continue to increase. And then I think one takeaway that I want to share with all realtors and, you know, mortgage professionals is there's not the language barrier that we used to think there was, right?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily important that you are bilingual if you want to work with Hispanic clients.
Right.
Over 80% of U.S. Hispanic citizens are completely fluent in English, right? So there isn't a language barrier. And I think it's really important for people in the real estate industry to understand that, you know, this isn't a demographic that can be ignored or pushed off to bilingual, professionals anymore.
Right.
If you want to succeed in real estate, you've got to start servicing this demographic as well.
How do we better service that demographic?
It's, I think, most important aspects are education, mm-hmm. Getting into conversations with them early on and putting together game plans with them to address those normal hurdles that are kind of holding them back from home ownership.
Yeah.
And then also marketing to them.
Mm-hmm.
60% of the Hispanic population in the United States has was born or lived through the internet age versus 40% of anybody that's non-Hispanic, right? So they are very social media driven, very much on the internet, and you can speak to them on that medium, just as like we were saying how important it is to reach out to people in social media.
Right.
You need to tap into that demographic as well. And one thing that we've found in research is it's not about speaking to them in Spanish.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, recognizing their culture and showing an appreciation for that.
Yeah, that's a great point, Tika. Yeah, I think, you know, the problem, I think, with everyone and in every situation is just some level of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to first educate ourselves so we can, you know, educate those around us. But, yeah, you know, that's such a valuable point that, you know, many of the Hispanic community exists of people that were, you know, born and raised here.
Oh, yeah. We're in second and third generation now. Yeah.
And so, but it, from a, whether you want to call it a cultural perspective or, you know, a background perspective, you know, there's different, you know, life experiences there. And it's about, mm-hmm. you know, making sure that we're in tune with that to serve them better, right?
Yes, 100%.
So we talked about a little bit about the inventory shortage, especially affecting, you know, that because a big section of that millennial market are or of the Hispanic community is the millennial market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Younger age. So they're not buying the, you know, they're not seasoned homeowners and buying up. They're more first time home buyers. And that's where really the inventory shortage is. Do you see anything in like the new construction industries right now that are, you know, really targeting that or addressing that need?
Not as much as should be the case.
Yeah.
What do you think, Eric?
It's a tough one because like inventory changes so quickly and so randomly that I don't think anything in particular is being addressed. I think it's just pretty much, you know, builders are providing a good product and they're trying to provide as fast as possible, but the population is growing so fast that it's really hard for them to keep up, you know?
Yeah.
Building times have decreased from the traditional, like, oh, it's going to take a year to build your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of one of those things where I don't think they're particularly focusing on targeting any particular demographic or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a matter of like, we're trying to get houses out there as fast as possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. I am your host, Brandon Kohlberg. I haven't said that yet.
Wow, yeah. Brandon. You're listening. Come on.
Brandon Kohlberg's here.
Who are we listening to?
We got Eric Glave and Lauren Green here in the studio talking about the Hispanic community and the market, real estate and mortgage in general. What do you guys see from a standpoint of the market? Where is it going? Is, you know, we talk about this housing shortage, talk a lot about that. Where do you guys see kind of the market shifting, you know, this year? Do you see it anything changing? Do you see it kind of remaining kind of at current levels? How do we address that?
I've seen that prices are leveling out, especially in the higher price ranges.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that idea of, oh, well, we can list our house at whatever price we want to and we'll get that much or more. That concept is starting to go away, especially once you get to a certain price point.
Yeah.
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 Eric, you work with a lot of first-time homebuyers.
I do.
You know, and like we've already, you know, addressed on the show, you know, some who are ready to buy now, some who aren't. You know, mm-hmm. for those clients that aren't ready to buy now, yeah, you're putting them on a game plan. But, like, how do you address, hey, here's where the market may be in 6 months or 12 months when we do get you ready to buy?
It's tough because, like, you know, you can't tell what the market's going to do. It's just – it's impossible to predict. If I had a crystal ball that told me what's going to happen, I'd probably use it for playing the lottery instead of real estate. You know? But it, you know, I could tell you from what the market has done. I mean, it did what it always does. It slowed down for a bit and it kept going, you know? So it's like at one point it was, you could get an actual house, put in an offer and go through a traditional process, ask for closing costs and stuff like that. And then it got back to, we're back to multiple offers. It's just, you know, I think it's just a trend where people shop during certain times and, you know, and there's no way to dictate that, you know?
Yeah.
Especially, you know, sometimes interest rates were going up. Now they went down and then they go up and then they go down. So
yeah.
That fluctuates too. So there's a lot of predictable factors that affect everything that's happening. So it's really hard to kind of get them on the game plan. But, you know, within, you know, if you have somebody on a 12-month game plan, one of the things that you really want to tailor is figure out what they want. Because, you know, the thing about it is if you're not giving them what they want, then, yeah, they're going to be hesitant to pull the trigger, you know?
Right.
But coming up with a game plan isn't just about buying a house. Sometimes it's about the lifestyle, because a lot of people go into it, especially first-time home buyers, thinking, you know, well, this is my forever home. And sometimes it's not, you know?
Yeah.
Because life changes. So it's like you have to kind of explain to some people that, hey, maybe this is the house for you for now, you know? And then once you grow into it and you build some equity on it, you can move on to something bigger, you know? Because people don't understand that, you know, how this person got such a big house. Well, yeah, they didn't start with such a big house, you know? Sometimes people start with a really small house and they work on it and they save up and then they move on to a bigger one. So there's a lot of different factors that play into, like, how you could plan a 12-month plan and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's a great book, I think, called The Millionaire Homeowner. And it's basically, you know, the best way to build wealth is, you know, to buy a house, live in it for a long time, and then, you know, eventually you'll move up.
Yeah.
And then you live in that house, you know, for a long time. And to go back to your point about, hey, the market is going to be what it is, what it always has been. A wise man once asked me, you know, hey, what season comes after winter? Spring. And he goes, has that changed ever? No, it hasn't. So, you know, it's and the same thing goes is true for our economy, for the marketplace, for real estate. We've got a long history that we can look back on and kind of see what's going to happen. And so there's really no guesswork. The market's going to continue to increase. There'll be dips and there'll be, you know, booms and there'll be, you know, decreases. But if, for the most part, it's going to continue to trend upward.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we've reached the point where, like, housing, I mean, we had a little bit of a crash, but it came back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever ran into a situation where the market went so far south that, like, it didn't come back.
Right. And for the Charlotte, you know, the Fort Mill, Rock Hill markets too, you know, so much of that was directly related to our banking industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's on a lot better footing now, you know. And from a national perspective, real estate's hot, but from a local perspective, I mean, we're on fire.
That's crazy.
I mean, you know, the Fort Mill, the greater Fort Mill or greater Charlotte areas, whatever you want to call it, one of the top, if not the top three best places to be in America, fastest growing. And so, yeah, we've got this, you know, huge influx of businesses and the economy, you know, from every way you look at it, you know, is great to be here.
Yeah, we're in a good spot.
I can't imagine living anywhere else, to be honest.
Yeah, and yeah, you're born and raised here, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can imagine living somewhere else, but it would cost a lot of money to live where I would imagine living.
You'd be on a beach somewhere, yeah?
Yeah, island by myself.
Perfect. Okay. Just you and your happy clients.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Might be able to envision an island.
Right. Yeah, so how do we get to that point? You know, obviously, we gotta help as many clients as we can now, you know, to continue that, to meet our goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about, you know, meeting the goals of everyone that we come in contact with. So if you have a goal of home ownership, or maybe even you need to sell a home and move up, give us a call, 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Lauren, anything else, you know, in terms of, you know, really serving and advocating for, you know, the Hispanic community when it comes to, you know, purchasing real estate?
Well, I mean, I think it's just a matter of getting out there and educating and talking to people and helping them, getting involved in the community.
Is there any way we can, people listening at home could join into some of your efforts with NAHRAP?
Absolutely. I mean, I actually was going to plug that today,
okay,
if I could.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Give us a plug.
Anyone that is in the real estate industry or a service provider to the real estate industry, we're trying to get our membership up for the mere fact that we want to get people more involved and more advocation for Hispanic home ownership. So if you are a realtor or a mortgage officer or in insurance or pass control or whatever the case may be,
right,
We would love for you to join our association. We actually have a really fun social mixer coming up on May 2nd. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a taco and margarita, you know, Cinco de Mayo theme. And it's just an opportunity for realtors and other service providers to kind of mingle and network and just learn more about our organization. So we would love for you guys to come to that. If you want more information, you can give me a call.
And how do we get a hold of you?
704-576-8555.
Awesome. Eric, you gonna hit that up? Have some margaritas?
He is.
Yeah.
He has no option.
so and anybody's welcome?
Yeah, it's okay. The membership is, I think it's $40 or $45 a year.
Oh, yeah,
and definitely. Like I said, we have multiple educational events as mm-hmm. well as networking events throughout the year.
Okay. So from obviously, you throw some fun in there, which is awesome.
Yeah.
From an advocacy standpoint, like what are some of the events through the year, or is it just kind of a more of a personal thing, person to person?
Yeah, I mean, we really focus on educating our members about the Hispanic market and how they can make a difference in our educational events. And then we also have a couple of national events. We just finished up in D.C., and then we have another one coming up in September where, you know, we kind of travel, and that's where we really get into the nitty gritty of advocacy and, you know, what are the hurdles that Hispanic homeowners are facing and how can we help fix that?
So. Definitely.
Yeah. I learned something new today.
What's that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So is it a situation where, you know, you guys do like educational events or seminars for, you know, potential home buyers?
Well, a lot of our members are involved in those types of activities.
Yeah, so
it allows you to network with members who are involved in that and get involved as well. So, yeah.
Fantastic. So come get involved with NAHREP. Give us the full acronym again.
National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals.
All right, so
that's what I learned.
So reach out to Lauren if you want to get connected with that. I mean, a really phenomenal thing to do. And then from there, you can kind of take your own lead and really kind of get the education out there to the Hispanic community. If you are in the Hispanic community or if you just want to buy a house, be sure you reach out with any questions. We certainly got all the answers for you. 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We got Eric Glave, Lauren Green, and Sue Dell with us. Guys, it's been fantastic having you here. Great information. So kind of give us, you know, your summation, maybe like three top points that really kind of, you know, drive how you service the client.
Well, number one, education and information.
Right.
I mean, that is hands down the most important aspect of that. And presenting clients with that information in a very organized way from the get-go, from the very beginning of the relationship. And then also constant communication with the client, just letting them know. I mean, you wouldn't believe how much that helps them knowing that you're invested in them and you're always available.
Yeah.
I have to come up with a third.
Yeah, you got it.
I was about to say, she stole mine.
Eric, give us a third one, brother.
Third one? Okay. Let's just say we communicate, you know, just reach out to us. We're always willing to have a conversation. That's the main thing, you know, we're out here for you.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll reach out to you if you don't reach to us, but we kind of like it when you reach out to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that goes back to, you know, making sure that, you know, you are surrounding your client with a great team of people, you know, from home inspectors to lenders, real estate agents, that, you know, making sure that, you know, they've got all their bases covered, that you're working with people who genuinely have a care for the client. So, which is a big deal. Eric closes out with, well, I'll get one from you both. Craziest real estate store you ever had?
Oh, wow.
I don't know if I should talk about mine.
Oh, we'd love to hear them.
Wow. Let's let her go.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to come up with a B story because I do not think I should tell my A story.
When you said B story, remind me yesterday I was showing a property and there were bees all over the place because it's spring. And the client was afraid of some bees, so she was stuck in the house.
Were the bees in the house or out of the house?
The bee was right by the door because it was a flower bush, and she just couldn't come out. It was just like she was held hostage by a bee.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And I was just like, how do I help? Because like I was not gonna go ahead and catch a bee.
So you're 99% full service.
99% full service. That 1% is no, I'm not a bee catcher. Yeah. I'm allergic to them.
That's funny.
And it's just like just watching because I made it out. I survived. You're just watching someone be stuck at the door, just like trying to get out, and it's just hilarious because it's like you want to help them, but what do you really do?
Yeah, so
I don't really know that I've had a super crazy real estate story yet. I mean, maybe that's why I still like it.
Well, hang in there long enough, I'm sure you'll have one.
Yeah,
hang around with me and we'll get one.
All right. Well, guys, it's been great fun with you. Lauren Green, Eric Glave, Allen Tate Real Estate. Make sure you reach out to them. Lauren, you're doing great work with NAREP. Thanks so much. Anytime people are out in the community educating home buyers, home sellers, we absolutely love that. That's a big part of what we want to see happen. That's what, you know, what we take great lengths to make sure our clients are informed, know exactly what's going on. So we applaud you and appreciate the work that you're doing, and keep it up.
Thank you.
All right, you listen to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We'll be back next Saturday. Appreciate you tuning in. Have a great week, and we'll catch you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, Antigua K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit Brandon Kohlberg online at carolinasmortgageradio.com. Join Carolina's Mortgage Radio again next Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. right here on WRHI FM 100.1.